Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Right now, we are giving away $20 to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. They have locations all over the state. Denver Metro, North Denver, and also Centennial off of Arapaho Road. That's where I go. I'm telling you, this is the best barbecue place in town, and I don't use those words loosely. It is fantastic. You cannot get a bad meal there, whether it's barbecue options, non-barbecue options, and the sides are fantastic. You know what else is great? Their desserts are outstanding. Everything there is great. Dave, the owner, you know, he's more than a barbecue guy. He's worked at other places, and he has put together a menu that is nothing short of fantastic. First caller, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. You are going to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew on us. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
All right, we have some breaking news, Mace.
Breaking news, Broncos have a new right tackle. It's former Chicago Bear and Arizona Cardinal Bobby Massey. That is actually being broken. That news being broken by his management company, saying congratulations, Bobby Massey, with a Broncos logo. Of course, he was one of the tackles that they had in for a tryout today to replace Juwan James, who is going to miss the season on the NFI list with a torn Achilles, suffered away from the facility. Broncos have their right tackle in Bobby Massey.
And what do you think about Bobby Massey?
Solid player. And the interesting thing is, the guys that they brought in, of course, you had Dennis Kelly, former Titan, Cameron Fleming, also played for a bunch of teams, including the Patriots. But you had other guys that were coming in that weren't backup types, and you thought, okay, maybe there's a window for Calvin Anderson to get a look. Bobby Massey, you bring him in, he's not a swing backup like these other guys have been for most of their career. Bobby Massey is going to start for you at right tackle. That's pretty much the period that ends a sentence.
Well,
right there.
Does he go into the line of right tackles where it was a revolving door like a Stevenson, Menelik, Watson, or is he better than Donald Stevenson?
I think he's better than Donald Stevenson, but I don't think the Broncos should have had Donald Stevenson on their radar anyway, based on what he did in Kansas City. I thought the Stevenson and Watson signings when they happened in 16 and 17 were, by my estimation, curious and hopeful. Bobby Massey is a much more reliable player than Stevenson or Watson had ever proven to be. And he's a veteran. You're basically counting on him being a one-year solution, but a pretty good one-year solution. And no matter who the quarterback is, I think you can say that they've got a solid line in front of him, and certainly probably a more fortified right tackle situation than it was last year, especially when they started Elijah Wilkinson.
The Broncos schedule officially gets released in 40 minutes, but we have the entire thing for you right now. Week one, the Broncos open up the season against the New York Giants in New Jersey. Week two, they will take on the Jaguars, back-to-back road games to start the season, and they will face rookie quarterback, more than likely rookie quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. The following week, they have their home opener against the New York Jets. They will likely face another rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson. Then they remain at home to take on Derek Wolf and the Baltimore Ravens. That will be October 3rd. After they play the Ravens, another contest against a team from the NFC North. They will go on the road, talking about the Broncos, to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Then the Broncos' first division game on the docket, October 17th. That is week six. That is a home game. And as Andrew will tell you, a lot of the Broncos' division games are backloaded on the schedule after the bye week. Broncos have one game on national television. They will not be on Monday Night Football, snapping a streak of 29 consecutive years, but they will play on Thursday Night Football, a short week for them. They will travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns, and then the Washington football team comes to town week 8 on Halloween.
On to week 9, we move on to November and the stretch of NFC East games that begins the previous week against Washington continues. They'll take on the Dallas Cowboys at Jerry World. That is going to be an 11 a.m. Mountain Time kickoff. November 14th, three straight games against the NFC East, Washington and Dallas, followed by Philadelphia coming to Denver for week 10. Week 11, November 21st, that's the bye. So 10 games, then a bye.
They couldn't have designed that any better.
Yeah, and the other thing that's also interesting to consider is the way the preseason is structured this year, you will have three games and then a bye on Labor Day weekend instead of that final preseason game.
Right.
So that, too, gives everybody a chance to kind of catch their breath after 5 weeks of camp. You get a bye, you play 10, another bye. It's not perfect, but that's nice balance.
And Aaron Rodgers will be able to get a week off, which will be good for him.
Yes.
Because of his age.
Nice. On to week 12, Thanksgiving weekend. Broncos playing on the Sunday, November 28th, against the Los Angeles Chargers. The next week, December 5th, we seem to say this every year, a December weekend in Kansas City against the Chiefs. That game scheduled for 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Back home for weeks 14 and 15 against the Detroit Lions and the Cincinnati Bengals, December 12th and December 19th, both, of course, at Empower Field at Mile High. And then closing with three consecutive division games, week 16, the day after Christmas, at Las Vegas. Week 17, the day after New Year's Day, January 2nd, 2022, at the Los Angeles Chargers. Finally, wrapping up on Sunday, January 9th, although it could be flexed to Saturday, January 8th, against the Kansas City Chiefs at home, week 18.
The schedule is important for fans because they're dying to know when the Broncos are playing. And some people want to set vacation schedules around these Bronco games. I don't think anyone's saying, gee, I got to go to Kansas City in December. Mm-hmm. But for you personally,
yes,
is this the worst case scenario where I know you were looking forward to going to Las Vegas, mm-hmm, but you're probably going to have to leave either on Christmas or the day after Christmas? Or you're just not going to go?
Oh, I'll go, but it's not going to be much of a trip, of course, but to Vegas. But here's the flip side.
Maybe
of that.
The trip is for your family where they don't have to have around, so you leave early.
No, but get this. There's the Chargers on New Year's weekend, right? In Los Angeles. And at home, I saw this and I've already had the thought in my mind, even when this broke, texting with my wife. Our daughter is 9 years old. What about New Year's at Disneyland before the Charger game? So I look at that. Am I a little bummed about Vegas on Christmas weekend? Yes, although I'm sure the casinos will be open and rocking. They don't close for the holiday.
They're
right?
not going to have to worry at all about taking your money because you really don't gamble.
Yeah. And then,
you're a better father than I am, because quite frankly, I'm not taking my kids to Disneyland. I'd rather go to Vegas.
The other thing that is in play that I'm selfish. Like, and this is selfishly, I always look to see, okay, are there any cold weather venues in the back half of the schedule? So I sit there and I see New York, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland before the end of October.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The only cold weather venue is Kansas City in December. As you know, it could be bitterly cold, brutally cold.
Yeah.
It was snowy a couple of years ago. We've also seen, like last year, weather was pretty benign for a December night. There's even been some 50, 60 degree days in Kansas City in December. So it's just a little bit of a roll of the dice. But that's another thing I look at is, you're not going to Cleveland in December, are you? Nothing like that this year. I'll take it.
Every team wants to get off to a fast start, and I don't think there is a schedule that screams 3-0 start more for the Broncos than any other team in the league. They were given a gift. No, you don't want to start your first two games on the road. No, you don't want to travel to the East Coast from the Mountain Time Zone to start your season in your opening two games. But you're going to be getting a pair of rookie quarterbacks more than likely in week 2 with Lawrence, week 3 with Wilson. And I don't know how thrilled the Giants are with Daniel Jones either. I mean, I don't know if you can find an easier schedule, at least when you look at last year's standings, because those three teams had a combined record of 9-29 last year. And I don't think anybody is honestly expecting the Jets or the Jaguars to be considerably better this year anyway.
Yeah, it's a best case scenario in the start, because you feel like the Broncos, the last two seasons of Vic Fangio, they're buried at the start. They could have done better in 2019 when they opened, of course, with the Raiders, and then they had Chicago at home in week two, but then they had Green Bay on the road in week three. They weren't winning that game. And last year, you know, you opened with Tennessee and Pittsburgh in the first two games, and yeah, the Tennessee game was at home, but that was tough. And then you had Tampa Bay in week three. I mean, right out of the blocks last year, you felt like the Broncos were in deep, deep trouble. This year is the exact opposite of last year. I mean, it turned out you had three playoff teams in three games in September of 2020, and that basically napalmed the Broncos at the beginning. This is a chance for them to get some confidence and bank some wins, and they're going to need to, considering that October is Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, Cleveland, closes with Washington at home. But remember, Washington, although 7-9, was a playoff team. So four of the five teams that you face in October were playoff teams last year, and the only other team was Las Vegas, and they swept you last year. So October is going to be a very much a prove-it month for the Broncos.
The Broncos are listed right now as 1.5-point favorites over the Giants in the opener, and we got a great guy to talk about that next. Our friend Jay Cornegay, the Vice President of Race and Sports Operations at the Westgate Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. That's a very long title, so I'll just sum it up for you. He's the guy who sets the odds. He's next. Running her hands through my fro, bouncing on 24s. Why they stand on the radio? It's the remix to Ignition.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, want to tell you about Denver Distillery. If you are looking for something smooth and refreshing, I'm telling you, Denver Distillery is the place to get all of your spirits. They haven't been around that long, but they already have award-winning spirits. I'm talking about the sweet potato vodka, and I am a big vodka fan, and I usually mix it with tonic, but the sweet potato vodka, I will just sip it because I like that taste of sweet potato on my lips. Colorado gin, very good. Straight four-grain bourbon, apple pie moonshine, and the bourbon barrel aged spice rum is outstanding with a Coke or a Diet Coke. Denver Distillery. You can find them off of Broadway in Denver, or you can buy some of their stuff at your local liquor store, and if they don't have it, demand it. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service, and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to ring in my friend Jay Cornegay. He is the Vice President of Race and Sports Operations at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Another way to put it is, he's the guy who sets the odds. Jay, how are you, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing great. So, listen, I know you're a big Broncos fan, so I know that you are waiting to see if the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers. If they do get him, how does that throw the sports betting out of whack?
Well, first of all, I hope they sign him. I was hoping that you were going to have him sitting right next to you.
He is. Aaron, say hello.
Hey.
I did hear his fiance is from Denver. You know what? I just heard that like yesterday. Is that true?
Who's from Denver?
Or his fiance? Or
Shailene Woodley is building a place in Boulder.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I think that's a little bit of a hook for him. Kind of like when Mike Munchak came here, he could have taken an offensive line coaching job anywhere, but his grandbabies live here. And I think it's really the same thing why Aaron Rodgers might want to come here.
Well, now I got to adjust the odds here. Hold on a second.
Get out of here. Listen, you know information before I know information. And Mace and I are in the business of knowing information. We should be calling you as a source.
Yeah, right. I'm going to tell you, you know, we get through the draft, and it's it's always a bloodbath for us. And I'm not looking for sympathy because people go, oh, I feel sorry for the sports books. But I'm telling you, it's the worst thing for us to book is the draft, because there's so much information out there. All these rumors are flying around like it's, you know, your 10-year reunion. You know, it's like everything's going out there. And the sharp guys really do a lot of homework. And we got some other things going on. We're trying to focus on what, you know, what's real, what's legitimate, and looking at the sources. And this year was just a crazy circus because of all this information, mainly because about the Rodgers deal. So Rodgers was, you know, making a mess of everything, to tell you the truth. We were at 80-1 on the Broncos leading up to the draft. On the day before the draft, the rumors started heating up. We lowered down to 60, and then some other sources out there, reliable sources, said, you know, this could be a done deal. We lowered them all the way down to 20-1.
Wow.
Now, the current odds on the Broncos winning the Super Bowl at the Superbook is 40-1. As some of it lightened up a little bit, there's still a chance that he's going to land there. But some of that heat that we were hearing last week has somewhat subsided. But not to a point where we're comfortable raising the Broncos back to where they were pre-draft.
Now, I was reading a few days ago that there were some sports books that had actually taken the Packers over/under for the season. They'd taken it off the board, but it doesn't seem like that's happened with the Broncos. So why keep the Packers on, and why take the Packers off but have the Broncos still on?
Well, I can't speak for them, but we have it both. I mean, we just posted the Broncos over/under season wins today.
Okay.
And all right, so we know who they're going to play. We just don't know the order they're going to play them. And with that said, and being operating in Colorado, we wanted to give all those Bronco fans something to look at. So, and remember, this is a 17-game season now, so an added game. The Broncos over/under total. Wait, before I say it, do you guys have any guesses? Do you have any thoughts?
Over/under on wins?
Yep.
I think it started at 7.5. Is it at 8.5 now?
It is 9.
Get out.
Yeah. 9.
Wow.
Total. Now, I know that it was 7.5 because I personally bet over 7.5.
Right.
I also bet them 75-1 to win the Super Bowl. But, I kind of depleted some of my accounts, the day before the draft. But, so I'm still holding on to that. But 9 total wins for the Broncos. The under is slightly favored. But we still believe, you know, and I have some guys that really do a lot of research, that we still believe that there's a solid chance that this thing might, get done.
We are talking to Jay Cornegay from the Westgate Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. He's the guy who sets the odds. He's also a Denver guy as well. So always love having you on here in Denver so maybe your family can listen. Bobby Massey, new right tackle for the Broncos. Is that over under now 10? I'm joking. I'm totally joking. They just signed him about maybe an hour ago or so. But I wanted to ask you something. When you said your guys do your research, what exactly does that mean?
You know what that means?
Or can you not give away company secrets?
No. That's one of these days, and if you're out here, I'd love to give you a tour. You know, we open up our retail outlet up in Blackhawk with the Lodge team.
Oh.
In a couple weeks. So
okay.
I'd love to give you a tour one of these days.
Sure.
And just show you how it's done. The Broncos have been very tricky, obviously, over the last week and a half or so. I'm sorry, Eric, I lost connection here.
No, we can still hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Can you repeat that question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, without giving away too many trade secrets, you said your guys gather information. I mean, you guys always seem to be pretty spot on. Well, what are you gathering that I can't get?
Yeah. Well, no, it's what we look at is pretty much available for anybody to see, and that is Twitter. Okay, Twitter is our first source, and not our only source, but our main source of information these days. As when news breaks, it usually happens on social media. these days. And so therefore, we have sets of computers set on Twitter, divided up by sport, all right, divided up by between pro and college, and we have guys monitoring what's taking place out there.
Wow.
Now, if there's something that we hear, and maybe we have friends in the business, it could be family, it could be associates, it could be somebody in the business that says, hey, did you hear about this? And what we'll do is we'll follow up on Twitter and follow our true sources of information, meaning that we are talking about guys that we can rely on, whether they're beat writers or somebody that works within the organization that really has sent us good information in the past. So we will follow Twitter and those accounts to get the latest information, but we're constantly monitoring those accounts.
So as kind of things heat up, like how often sometimes do you find yourself changing the odds, reacting to stuff like this that's going down, sometimes minute to minute?
It is. And it's, sometimes, you know, these guys out there, they're really good bettors. You know, they have great information just like we do. And sometimes they get it before us, and sometimes we get it before them. It's a cat and mouse game every single day. And it doesn't matter if it's about, you know, the Broncos. It could be, you know, the lineup that came out for the Cardinals and so-and-so's not playing. You know, that type of information is out there. And, again, it's kind of a race to the computer, see who gets it first. But it goes both ways. I mean, we're used to that. And if they get that information before us and get a couple of bets in, you know, no harm, no foul, that's just the way we play it. But it does happen, and it happens all the time.
We are talking with Jay Cornegay from the Superbook in Las Vegas. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about a couple of other teams. Again, you are a Colorado guy. What are your thoughts about the Avs winning the Cup and the Nuggets making a deep run?
Well, being out here for over 30 years now, and I was an Avs fan, and I still am. I went to a lot of those playoff games back in the day with Forsberg and Sackett and Blake and all that. I had a lot of fun following them, you know, whether they were in L.A. or Denver. Being out here now for over 30 years, I'm a Knights fan now.
Traitor.
I was at the game Monday.
You're a traitor.
Yeah.
You're a traitor,
yeah,
Jay.
Seriously?
Yeah. Let me guess, you're a Raiders fan now, too.
I am a Las Vegas fan. I'll put it
down.
But I'm a Bronco fan.
Come
first.
On. Listen, me and Chris Fuselier and Les Shapiro are not going to talk to you anymore. You're done, Jay. You're finished.
I've got the business from my family back home, back there in Denver.
Right.
You know, Fort Collins. All my friends have been giving me a hard time.
Right.
I actually was invited to go see the training camp of the Raiders, and I went up there, and I was like going, you know, if my parents were alive, they wouldn't believe what they were seeing right now. In fact, they're probably rolling right now.
Right.
When I talk about the Raiders, and I am always going to be a Bronco fan first. I will say that.
Right.
But I do root for the Las Vegas teams. I've been out here for 30-something years,
okay.
Derek. Come on.
Okay, so let me ask you, who would you put your money on? Because you're the guy who sets the line at Superbook. Would you put your money on Vegas or the Avs to win the Cup?
Oh, geez. Can I have both?
No, you can't have both. You can't hedge your bet. Using your terminology, you can't hedge your bet. I'm talking as a bettor, not as a fan, because clearly you're a Vegas Knights fan. You clearly love the Avalanche. You can make the case that they're two teams that have a good shot to win it. But from a betting perspective, which team do you like more?
To win the Cup?
Yeah.
I would have to say the Avs right now, because it looks like that they're going to have home ice. They're probably going to have an easier round one than the Knights facing the Wild. So I think right now, just because the Knights have had a lot of problems with the Wild, they just can't beat that team. And not that the Blues are a pushover by any means, but because of the easier road and them having home ice, I would probably have to, if I have to make a choice, like you said, I will put my money on the Avs.
It's interesting. Getting into the Vegas Golden Knights thing, it got me thinking, how have things changed out there in terms of how people bet, based on the fact that we've gone in the last 4 years from Vegas having no home teams beyond UNLV to having the Raiders, the Golden Knights, and if rumors are to be believed, maybe the A's could be next to relocate to Las Vegas.
Yeah, Andrew, it was such a ride that first year when the Knights, you know, came out, and we actually, this is how smart we are. Okay, so we think that the Knights going into the season, looking at that lineup and what they had on that roster was just, you know, it was just, you know, players that other teams didn't want. Nobody thought they were good. And then right before the season, you know, was played, they played the Knights like third string team and got whipped. And I tell you, they just looked horrible going into that season. And they were 200-1. We raised them to 500-1. And with their run on that first year, that inaugural year for the Knights, you know, we had some of the biggest liability. I could actually say it was our biggest liability that we've ever seen. And if the Knights would have won the Cup, all the books around here would have taken a huge hit. Now, with that said, things have settled down now. But the Knights games, the Raiders games, are always the biggest bet games around here. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Colorado. We've been operating in Colorado now, the Superbook has, since December, and the biggest games are always the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Avs. Now, I can't say that about the Rockies, unfortunately, and I'm a big Rockies fan, but someday, hopefully, that will change.
Well, it's because Vegas doesn't have a baseball team that you can, you know, ditch the Rockies. That's why. And that's why you like the Nuggets, because Vegas doesn't have a basketball team. You've already blown off Denver for football and for hockey. I mean, really? Come on, dude.
Well, do you blame me? Would it be that hard to leave the Rockies? And
no, don't go there. Listen, Jay, listen. If UNLV played Colorado State in football, you'd probably go with UNLV, wouldn't you?
That's not true.
Okay.
That is absolutely not true.
I don't believe you. All right, real quick, before we cut you loose.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, everybody has their different odds, but right now to win the Super Bowl, Chiefs are plus 525, Buccaneers are plus 650. The Bills then drop all the way down to plus 1,300. With that, we're not going to hold you to it, but if the Broncos get Rodgers, where do the Broncos fit into that mix?
Okay, right now we said that they were 40-1, and I was talking to our guys knowing that I was going to talk to you.
Yep.
And this question might pop up, and sure enough, here we are.
That's right.
I would say that if they land Rodgers, well, it's certainly going to depend on what they give up. If it's just draft picks down the road, but this year, and they don't give up too much of their current roster to get Rodgers, we're looking at 12-1.
So what is that in terms of plus 525, plus 650? I can't compute that fast. What does that mean?
Well, that means they would probably be, the Chiefs and, you know, Buccaneers are right up there. That means that they would probably be in about top five or six in the league.
Okay, so they would not crack the top three, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Bills?
No.
Gotcha. Wow. Hey, Jay, thank you so much for your time. We kept you on longer than I'm sure that you wanted to be with us. And go ahead. Just say it before we go. Say it. Go Raiders. Just say it and get it over with.
I can't say that.
Yes, you can. You're a Raiders fan now.
I certainly can't say that on the air, but whenever we have we sit down and talk in private, I'll tell you in private, okay, Eric?
I'll tell you this. If you said go Raiders, you'll never be able to walk into Blake Street Tavern again. I'm sure of it. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
See you later. Jay Cornegay from the Superbook in Las Vegas. Coming up after the break, this is a topic I wanted to get into because I'm a big music fan. I believe you are as well. The nominees, or not the nominees, but the inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been announced. And when I looked at this list, I'm thinking, how could these two artists have not been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sooner? That's next.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Hot Tub Outlet. As other hot tub stores in town make you wait 12 weeks, get your new hot tub today at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to hottuboutletdenver.com.
One of my favorite things to watch on television is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. It's always on HBO, or at least it has been in the past, because I just love listening to great music. This year's inductees, the Foo Fighters, Jay-Z, Tina Turner, Carole King, the Go-Go's, and Todd Rundgren. How in the hell has it taken this long for Tina Turner and Carole King to get into the Hall of Fame?
That was kind of my reaction.
I was like, what?
Tina Turner, Carole King, and I would even say Todd Rundgren should have been in ages ago. What's going on here?
I have no problems with the Go-Go's going in, but they were an 80s band. Tina Turner was in the 60s. Carole King in the 60s and 70s.
And Rundgren was 70s.
And the Go-Go's are going in at the same time? Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, it's still been a while for them. I mean, we came out of the break with We Got the Beat. And it's funny, my daughter is actually into 80s music, and that's one of the songs that's on her 80s playlist that sometimes we play when we're in the car. But at the same time, that song was 40 years, came out 40 years ago this year.
Right.
They're not exactly new.
Right.
I mean, basically what this is showing me is this is almost like, okay, kind of like a seniors committee nominee in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Correct.
Whoops. We forgot about these people. We better find a way to get them in here at some point and make up for what we overlooked in decades. I mean, Tina Turner, how in the heck was Tina Turner not in one of the first three or four classes of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Carole King had a Broadway musical written about her and her music. So she has a Broadway musical about her and still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Give me some bands or artists who you think should be in there that currently are not.
Well, it's funny. I mean, like, two of the ones that got in this year, the Foo Fighters and Jay-Z. It's about the right time for acts of their generation to be in the Rock and Roll.
You know what
Hall of
I saw
fame.
Somebody put on Twitter today?
So it's fine.
Jay-Z's not a rock and roller. I'm like, this isn't about rock and roll. It's about music.
It's about, well, basically when we say rock and roll, even though you can debate, you know, hip hop and whether it fits in with that, I think a better way of saying is it's kind of like post-1954. I mean, you're basically sure. Saying this, and you can kind of go down deeper into the roots, but realistically, we're kind of starting with Bill Haley and the Comets, right?
Yeah.
Rock Around the Clock. It's basically the 1954 onward Music Hall of Fame.
There are two artists who I still cannot believe are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
One of them is Pat Benatar. And not that I was a huge fan of her music, but she was one of the original female rockers. How she is not in the Hall of Fame is stunning to me. Now, I got a little quiz for you.
Go ahead. This one
is mind-blowing to me. And I understand this particular artist is an acquired taste. I will ask you, what group has sold the most albums in music history?
Group that has sold the most albums.
Group artist. These are pretty obvious.
I mean, Beatles.
Correct. Who's number two? Pretty obvious.
Rolling Stones.
Who's number three? Because that number three is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So, like, not you too, then?
Nope.
The Who?
I'll give you 100 guesses. Well, the Who is in the Rock and Roll.
Yeah, they're in the Hall of Fame, but like,
I'll give you 100 guesses and you would not come up with it. Would you want me to just tell you?
Just tell me.
The Dave Matthews Band. They have sold the third most albums in music history.
That makes sense because they have an audience that laps up every single thing they put out. Like, the Dave Matthews Band has a hardcore following that will buy every live album they put out.
Correct.
And so, you know what? That does make sense when you think about it, because I know some people who make sure that whenever they go on tour, they're seeing them somewhere every year.
In 2020, there's a fan vote every year, and Dave Matthews Band won the fan vote in 2020. They got around 1 million votes. Since 2012, with no exception, the top vote getter by the fans has always been inducted, not the Dave Matthews Band. And I love the Dave Matthews Band. I really do. But if you have the third most sold albums in music history, you need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
We will discuss that first game of the NFL season that kicks off the entire season. Also, we'll talk about some of the international games going on this year. That is next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. It's
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404. Or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the talk of the day has been the NFL schedule release, and the first game on that schedule, the kickoff for the NFL season, will be Dallas Cowboys at Tampa Bay Buccaneers Thursday, September 9th. Since 2004, the 16 defending Super Bowl champs that have played in that season opener are 13-3. Do you like this matchup to start the NFL season?
I think one of those losses was the Ravens coming here, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when they couldn't play the game in Baltimore because the Orioles wouldn't budge on the game they had scheduled that day.
Manning threw 7 touchdowns.
Yes, exactly, and that's something.
Answer my question!
So, what was that for?
You guys didn't answer my question.
Okay, yeah, you know what? They could have done a lot better than Cowboys-Bucks. Now, maybe for the ratings, perhaps not. But, I mean, there were other Buccaneer games they could have taken. I mean, what about Saints-Bucks with all the stuff going on at quarterback? They could have had, I believe, the Buffalo Bills for that game. I would much rather seen that than the Cowboys.
Well, Dak Prescott's returning. That's maybe a bit of a draw. I don't know if I buy the whole America's team thing, but the Cowboys are still a draw, aren't they?
I guess. They are. No, they are. They are.
Yeah.
And, good for them. But the other thing is, people are going to watch that first game anyway, no matter what, right?
Yep.
So I don't think you need to have the Cowboys to get eyeballs on that game.
You hate the Cowboys.
Bills-Bucks would have been much more compelling.
That would have been unbelievable.
I like that one, too. That would have been a great matchup.
Yeah.
Just in case you missed it, the NFL games in London this year will be Falcons-Jets and Jaguars-Dolphins. Where else internationally would you like to see the NFL try to play a game?
Wait, Falcons-Jets, and what's the other one?
Jaguars-Dolphins.
Wow. Congratulations, UK. You got 2 crap games. We just gave you our garbage because that's what they got.
Well, there haven't been many great games in England anyway, great matchups. Actually, Dolphins-Jaguars could be really interesting. If the Dolphins build on last year, and if the Jaguars have the marked improvement I think everybody expects because Trevor Lawrence is walking in that building, that could be a very compelling game and a very good game.
Nobody knows who Trevor Lawrence is out there.
Are you football fans know who Trevor Lawrence is?
In the UK?
There are enough American football fans to keep selling out these games no matter who is playing. Trust me, it's name recognition for Trevor Lawrence is not an issue with NFL fans over in the United Kingdom.
You know what name recognition is over in the United Kingdom? The Dallas Cowboys. You send a team like the Cowboys or a team with a great quarterback over there.
And yet they get
not a bunch of rookie quarterbacks on bad teams.
And yet they get get sellout crowds upwards of 80,000 people
I understand that.
To watch Cincinnati and Jacksonville.
Right. Right.
Carolina and Tampa Bay before Tom Brady walked in that game.
They get the
door.
They get the garbage games. Yeah, that's what they get.
But people come out and watch them.
I understand that, but I'm just saying they get the garbage games. They don't get marquee guys. They didn't get marquee teams.
Yeah.
So no other international locations you would be interested in seeing the NFL play games at?
Honest. Well, I mean, that's kind of putting me on the spot here.
Well, that's what the segment.
Well,
was
they
all
already
about,
go. They are. If I had time to prepare, I don't know. I mean, it's not on the radar right now. Tokyo. So.
You know what? I don't think games should be overseas. The NFL is not an international sport. It just isn't. This isn't like soccer, and it's not like the NBA. Basketball is an international sport. Football is not.
That was exactly what I was looking for, Eric. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted
to go 5 minutes before I gave you the answer that you wanted.
I appreciate it. I almost played the John McEnroe again, but I figured one time was enough in this segment.
There we go.
Just in case you missed it, Shohei Ohtani pitched 7 innings and gave up only 1 earned run, struck out 10 Astros last night, and then he played right field since he was coming up in the batting order again. He's only the 3rd player since 1900 to have 10 strikeouts and then play another position, according to Elias Sports Bureau. Do you think that Ohtani or any other major leaguer could play every position on the diamond?
Ooh. You got to be a pitcher first in order to do that, right? You can't take a position player and then turn him into a pitcher. So the pitcher has to be the guy who can play
other
positions.
Didn't Jose Oquendo do that a long time ago for the Cardinals?
Played
every position.
Well, he did, but it was more of a gag.
Yeah, it was a gag that he was a pitcher, not Ohtani being a legitimate pitcher. I mean,
correct.
Are you willing to try Ohtani as a catcher?
Am I willing to try Ohtani as a catcher?
Yeah. Just for the heck of it. Just
probably not.
Okay. All right.
Probably not.
All right. There you go.
Okay. That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, and here's the deal. It is hail season, and if the hail damages your roof, you need to go with Masterpiece Roofing. They can help you get your insurance company to pay for your roof, and they were voted Denver's best roofing company recently, and their clients love them. Over 85-star Google reviews. They are the best in the business, whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding. Let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Alex, great job punching all the right buttons for MileHighSports.com. Danny, great job on the radio side. Mace, terrific show today. I will try and do better tomorrow. If you want to hear what Jay Cornegay had to say, he's the guy who sets the odds at Superbook out in Las Vegas. He talked about the possibility of Aaron Rodgers coming here and how it would affect the Super Bowl odds. Go to MileHighSports.com. Go to our show page, and you can listen to that full interview. Make it the best possible night you can.